welcome into another edition of Bama and Bourbon with Aaron Suttles from The Athletic. I am Lance Taylor from The Next Round. We do this each and every week. We talk bourbon. We talk Alabama football. We're going to throw you a curveball. This isn't actually bourbon today. Aaron,
whiskey.
I'll let you explain it again here in a minute, but this is Courage and Conviction American Single Malt Whiskey. I'll tell you the fancy thing. I already took this out, but you get this sleeve with it. It's like a Pringles can.
Yeah. I'm expecting some Pringles tennis balls in here or something.
And they're even custom. There's like a name at the top of that. So
okay.
There's a lot of flair
this one,
to this
it
bottle.
It says Batch. This one is Harry Cockburn.
Harry Cockburn. What a name.
I'm not making that up.
Harry Cockburn. And there was some kind of metallic or...
coin or something.
Yeah. It's a magnetic metallic coin. Okay, so let's pop this thing open. Courage and Conviction before we get to Alabama, Arkansas, and then previewing Alabama and Texas A&M.
Yeah.
I'll take the foil
off
this.
So this is out of Virginia. Lovingston, yeah. Virginia.
So the late Dr. George Moore had a great passion for single malt whiskey and has adopted his home in Virginia. Native Irishman, George came to the U.S. in the 1970s to seek new opportunities in 2011 after many years of building successful businesses in both the U.S. and Ireland. George finally had the chance to combine his two passions, which he shared, which he started, actually, the Virginia Distillery Company. Today's George's wife's Angela Moore, and their son, Gareth Moore, along with his wife,
Gareth.
Maggie Moore, a lot of Moores there, have taken to the helm to continue building George's dream, and this is his dream, Courage and Conviction.
There we go. The tasting notes say it's got notes of caramel, butterscotch.
I'm a fan
and
of both.
It evolves on the palate with hints of bright red fruit, raspberry, cocoa, barrel spice. What is barrel spice?
What is barrel spice?
And vanilla. The finish is creamy and exceptionally smooth.
Okay.
I've never heard of a bourbon whiskey described as a creamy finish, but we'll give it a whirl.
So they said age for a minimum of 3 years in bourbon, sherry, and cuvee cask. It's 92 proof. It's very light in color.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is almost like an Irish whiskey.
Yeah, it's very much. The first...
this one's a little powerful.
The little first little taste reminds me of a little peaty, like almost a little scotches.
Yeah. I mean, it's got that smoky flavor, too.
Yeah. Courage and Conviction.
Courage and Conviction.
All right.
Well, there we go. Yeah, we'll tell you more about that. It's a new American single malt available, by the way. Our sponsors that always bring you Bama and Bourbon, our friends at Over the Mountain Cruisers, we'll tell you about them in a minute, and the Beverage Place and Pink Package. So let's take it in reverse. Alabama, Arkansas, 28-0. Game looked like it was over. You've talked about it before. One guy you can't lose, obviously, Bryce Young. But Jalen Milroe comes in. I know they weren't prepared for him. Barry Odom and Sam Pittman were. But his wheels, he's a next-level guy that can run it, right?
He's, I was talking to Dallas Turner, who's a good enough athlete in his own right after the game. And sort of, because Jalen's 6'2", he's, anywhere from 212 to 220. If you've seen him, he's a physical specimen. He looks more like a linebacker than he does a quarterback. So because of that, in watching that long 77-yard run he had on 3rd and 15 that flipped the game, it looked like a couple of defensive backs underestimated him. The one looked like they thought he was going to slide because he's a quarterback, and the other one just underestimated his speed. So I was asking Dallas Turner, and he's like, he's the fastest quarterback I've seen ever that he's played with or played against. So that speaks to how athletic Jalen is. And, I've been saying it. I've always said, hey, you got to have a package on 4th and short for this guy. He's too athletic not to.
Why would you not?
And he proved it on Saturday because they don't win that game without him.
So let's start with the obvious question. I know it's an unknown. Yeah. We hear it's an AC sprain on the joint. Do you get the feeling he'll play?
I don't think he'll be out long. I think they're going to tend to be a little cautious with this one. And
do you think they feel like they can beat A&M with Milroe?
I kind of think they do. I think they see Texas A&M as a passing offense that's struggling. They can't throw the football. They sort of view them as one-dimensional. Now, you can't take that for granted because we know what the athletes they have and what they did to Alabama last year. But I just think right now there's probably more eyes on quarterbacks after injury right now because of Tua and the concussion in the NFL. And then, you know, a few years ago with Tua in the hip coming off the ankle injury at Alabama. I'm not saying that's weighing into it at all, but I think if they can give him an extra week to get more right, they're going to. And that's sort of how I see this one, but I don't know.
I mean, Tennessee's more dangerous.
Absolutely. You'd rather have him full strength for Tennessee.
Yeah. And we'll get to more A&M in a minute. You know, going back, we got to see Joe Doerr.
Yeah.
It was only one touch, but it was
a horrible decision by Sam Pittman, who I love. Sam Pittman's great. But I was sitting next to one of my athletic teammates in the press box in Arkansas, and it was a third down, and they had stopped Alabama. It was going to be a field goal, and he takes the penalty.
Yeah.
Makes it like third and 17, and then Alabama scores the next play. I'm like, why? You know Alabama's not going for it on fourth down with a backup quarterback who can't throw the football very well.
Right, and you give Alabama threes all day
yes.
long.
Yes, and that was just a poor decision by Sam Pittman. But, yeah, it was good to see JoJo back there.
It's Bama and Bourbon with Aaron Suttles from The Athletic. You guys are only a buck for the subscription, right?
I mean, that's not how much I normally am. I'm a cheap Dave.
I mean, a buck. Great stuff. You got a great piece on Mal Moore coming out. Has it already dropped?
Next week, hopefully.
Next week, okay. Yeah. But anyway, like and subscribe to all of his work there at The Athletic. Ton of great writers on The Athletic. But Bama and Bourbon is always brought to you by our friends at Over the Mountain Cruisers, the Southeast Hub for the Toyota Land Cruiser with nearly 10 years of experience servicing and outfitting Land Cruisers, OTM Cruisers. They've got the skills and knowledge to service and pre-qualify any Toyota Land Cruiser or Lexus four-wheel drive and quickly address your needs. Go to otmcruisers.com for more information. I can't get the scotch out of my
That's my first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a scotch lover, and there's a lot of people that are. I personally am not.
I'm not. It's not my wheelhouse.
Yeah. I've been to scotch tastings, and I've tried to kind of get into it, but I just think bourbon is just different for me. Yeah. I like the sweetness of it.
Yeah. It's very peaty to me.
I like the complexion. I like the heaviness of the bourbon. But if you like, you know, the combinations of, you know, single malt whiskeys, it's pretty smooth.
The package is incredible. I mean, it's going to stand out on your shelf.
Yeah, courage and conviction, definitely. I don't know if do you take this away and just have the bottle here?
Now, see, I have a bourbon like that. It's Colonel Taylor, Taylor. It's made by Buffalo Trace, and it comes in one of these too. And I've left it in the tubing, or whatever you would call it.
I'm not good at it's a magnetic, some kind of coin, but hell, I can't place it. Anyway. Okay, so back to it, Alabama and Arkansas. Other things, Kool-Aid obviously returning punts.
Yeah,
it's going to be fantastic. He's going to break one sooner or later, right?
He has to, but everyone's giving him the credit, and rightfully so, because he's been great, but the blocking has been. He's had a lot of room around, which tells me that your gunners are doing a tremendous job. Because you don't do it. It takes all 11 guys, so it looks like he's the guy.
And he's getting more comfortable, it looks like, you know, playing corner.
He's a talented guy,
yeah.
As is Terrion Arnold. And Terrion Arnold had a key tackle where he wrapped up. Sometimes we sort of wonder if cornerbacks can tackle. Terrion Arnold proved he could tackle.
Okay, before I get to Jahmyr Gibbs and the breakout game that he had, no Alabama receiver had more than three grabs. Ja'Cory Brooks, I made the mistake starting him. DraftKings, I thought that he had turned the corner.
He couldn't catch the ball again.
Yeah, he had two targets and two drops.
Yeah, he didn't catch the ball well. I feel bad for is Jermaine Burton. He's been open a few times. And they're not either overthrowing him. You know, he had a guy beat on, I think it was maybe the series where Jalen Milroe had that 75-yard run. Early in that drive, or maybe first or second down, he goes deep to Jermaine Burton, and Jermaine has to slow up, and then the cornerback's able to make a play on the ball. Jermaine's beaten a couple guys deep the last 2 weeks, once against Vanderbilt, once against Arkansas. And the passes, one was overthrown against Vanderbilt, and this one was underthrown.
Well, you know, the difference in the game probably did come down to the 3rd and 15 from Bama's 20.
Yeah.
They're up 28-23, and Milroe has the 77-yard run. But outside of that, to really shut the door in the fourth quarter, we finally got to see the speed of Jahmyr Gibbs.
He's incredible.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, this is the guy that everybody was talking about that they saw in practice coming into the season. I mean, 72 and 76-yard runs. Both in the fourth quarter, ends up with 202 yards, two touchdowns. If you get that Jahmyr Gibbs moving forward, this offense changes a lot.
You know, I think Alabama's strength and conditioning coach said he was clocked at 22.8 miles per hour on one of those runs. And if you ever have questioned, like, terminology of football and you hear coaches talk about pressing the hole, go back and watch either of those Jahmyr Gibbs runs and see how he gets it. He stretches it to get the offensive line out as far as he can, which makes the defense sort of overextend. and then you push, you block him down, and he puts his foot in the ground and just goes. It's a perfect explanation if you've ever wondered what stretching sort of setting your offensive line up to so they have leverage. That was it.
You know, and Jace McClellan going into the Arkansas game was the leading rusher. Now coming out, he's 122 yards behind Jahmyr Gibbs.
I still don't know what this offense is. And I know this is not a fair game to judge it because they look great when Bryce was in the game. And, you know, and
I'm right there with you, man. We know how good Bryce is, but, you know, if Gibbs gets more opportunities, is it more Gibbs first, pass second? I'm right
because
there with you.
Hey, Gibbs had those two explosive runs, but he also had a lot of runs of 0 yards. So I just wonder, you know, what's the identity of this offense? But I'll point this out as I did in my article on Saturday night. When Bryce is in the game, they score 14 points. The other 35 was when Jalen was in the game. Now, that's not me, like, trying to start any cards for us. I'm just saying, in my mind, I thought, well, they probably got that 28-0 lead while Bryce was in the game. No, they were up 14-0, and then he gets hurt, and then Jalen comes on, and they get the other 35.
Yeah, I think not more concerning because now that Alabama fans realize that Bryce should be okay long-term, was Alabama's defense once they got that 28-0 lead. You know, they gave up 187 on the ground. Rocket Sanders was really good again.
Yeah.
But they were moving the football.
They did, and Alabama just lost their aggressiveness in the third quarter. I mean, they just lost their aggressiveness. And Nick Saban talked about it after the game. He talked about it on Monday during his press conference. They just lost that edge, and all it takes is that. And we saw how quickly the momentum shifted in that game. And then just disaster. I mean, I still you've seen it. I haven't been able to watch the replay yet. Was, you know, that snap on that punt was so bad, people were wondering if it was a called fake punt. To the up back, which would have been toe-to-toe. But it was even right of him.
Yeah.
It was right of the personal protector.
It was whose kick was it against Georgia that hit the left wall of the living room? Was it Bulibus? Yeah. It was like that. We were so far off target. I don't know if I've seen a snap that bad.
It was just in that moment of the game where nothing, and I mean nothing, was going right.
And that's when I kind of had a feeling. You know, I was watching with a couple of Alabama fans, and this one girl, she had never been to the house before. She was like, "I'm not coming back." She was like, because apparently this is a Jinx place. And I was like, every time I watch an Alabama game here, they win.
It had nothing to do with you.
Yeah, it didn't. And they ultimately, not only did they win, they cover. We did end up giving Alabama out. I took the points early in the week with you. I know.
I cannot believe they covered.
It's crazy. This is Bama and Bourbon with Aaron Sotos from The Athletic. I'm Lance Taylor from The Next Round. Like, subscribe, tell everybody. We do this each and every week. We talk bourbon. We talk Alabama football. We're actually talking an American single malt whiskey, Courage and Conviction. If you like whiskeys, you like single malts, you like scotches,
this is your drink.
Yeah, you would enjoy this. Yeah. So try that out. You can get it at the Beverage Place located next to the PGA Superstore on Highway 280. Pink Package located across from the Target next to Arby's on 280. One-stop shop for liquor, beer, seltzers, wine, sodas, mixers, cigars, ice, even fresh lemons and limes. They open early. They close late. Open at 9 a.m. every day except Sunday. So get in. See Chan and the great folks at Pink Package and the Beverage Place.
We're talking about the defense and how they sort of had that letdown. They're still, I was talking to somebody that does advanced analytics stats today. Alabama still leads the nation, number one defense in the country in points allowed per drive. So they allow fewer than anyone else in the country in points per drive.
Even after giving up 26, which is not a lot.
And let's be honest, seven of those, they were in a bad spot. I mean, your punter's got to kick that ball to the back of the end zone. You cannot give them first and goal at the two or whatever it was. And that's not on the defense. I mean, that they gave up the touchdown, but they were, Arkansas had it first and goal from the two.
Well, let's play it forward, 7 o'clock. I mean, this was the most hyped regular season game in college football going into 2022. Yeah. It has lost a ton of luster because now A&M's sitting at 3-2. They really should be 2-3. Yeah. Alabama did survive, but game day's not going to be there. They're going to be in Lawrence, Kansas for TCU and Kansas.
Crazy.
Two teams that weren't even ranked last week.
Wild.
It is wild. But now you get an A&M team where, look, last year they were in a spot where nobody thought they could beat Alabama. Yeah. They win the game straight up. Calzada had the game of his career. The thing you got to look at, DJ Durkin is a good defensive coordinator.
Yep.
If Milroe is your starting quarterback and they scheme just for him, I mean, they could make it difficult on Alabama offensively. I just don't know how A&M's offense moves the ball on Alabama's defense.
That's the question. They're just so limited offensively, which, you know, it's been that way for a few seasons now with the quarterback guru Jimbo Fisher. And obviously, you know, they've had some injuries there at the quarterback position. But I do find it a stark difference, his words about Nick Saban this week, than they were back in May.
A little bit.
You're like, he's a great coach. He taught me so much. And in May, he's despicable. Someone should slap him. But listen, they're a dangerous team because they have great athletes, especially on the defensive line. As you mentioned, they can take away the running game, and they can make things very difficult if Alabama's one-dimensional, if Jalen Milroe has to play. And then offensively, they got some playmakers. You know, their running back's really good. They got Evan Stewart. He's a good wide receiver. The quarterback play. But when Alabama gets beat, it seems to be one of these quarterbacks rises up and has the game of his career. I think they're in a dangerous spot coming off a loss.
Yeah, and I think they would have a better chance with Max Johnson. I know he's questionable right now. Haynes King had to come into the game. I don't think Haynes King is going to be able to, you know, move the ball at all against this defense. We'll see what happens there. It is amazing when you had the comments from Jimbo Fisher in the offseason, and we just thought this was going to be such a hype game.
He immediately started backing off that a couple weeks later in Destin at the SEC spring meetings. And then since then, I think he realized he made a mistake. He got emotional and said some things that he should, that you say in the staff offices. You don't broadcast it during a press conference, which they called, which is still the most
We've watched it twice this week. It looks worse every time I see it.
The fact that they let him do it, it was bad PR from Texas A&M. It was horrible. And he looks like a clown. At least I respect him more. He's like, yeah, I stand behind it. We have to work within the same conference, so there's a certain amount of respect that's there, but I stand by what I said about him. He hasn't. He's tucked his tail, and he comes across looking a little foolish.
So were you in the presser yesterday?
No.
Okay.
But I watched it.
You watched it.
Yeah.
Nick Saban was fired up.
He was.
And is this one of those games where, you know, this is – I mean, look, he's got a rhyme and reason to everything he does, very methodical. Do you think this is one of those, hey, you guys gave up 23 unanswered points – this A&M team's dangerous.
I think he's trying to send a message. Yeah. He was sending a message to the media. It wasn't post-practice, so he wasn't agitated about the way they just practiced. This was him trying to send a message to his players. One, to his defense. You can't have those lulls. We can't take the third quarter off and allow a team that you've dominated to get back into the game. That could have bit them. I mean, you were very close to having those fans pack up and leave early. You didn't close it. You didn't put your foot on their neck and finish the job. So I think he's talking to them, and I think he's trying to send a message to his team through the media like he normally does.
It's Bama and Bourbon with Aaron Suttles from The Athletic. I'm Lance Taylor from The Next Round. And it's brought to you every week by our friends at Over the Mountain Cruisers, Southeast Hub for the Toyota Land Cruiser. With nearly 10 years of experience servicing and outfitting Land Cruisers, OTM Cruisers, they've got the skills and knowledge to service and pre-qualify any Toyota Land Cruiser or Lexus four-wheel drive. Quickly address your needs. Go to OTMCruisers.com. Again, we are previewing the Courage and Conviction American Single Malt Whiskey. Okay, a couple of things on A&M. Jahmyr Gibbs, over 100 yards or under?
Under.
Will we see Bryce Young play at all?
This one's tough. I would say no, just because they're going to be cautious with him. And I don't necessarily think they have to have him to beat him, although that's not going to enter their decision making. And I think you have to take it a little cautious with him because his dad is so involved in the process. And everyone's watching quarterbacks right now and the way that you handle quarterback injuries. You cannot be perceived as putting a guy in harm's way. You got to take him out of the equation. He wants to play. I thought it was a good sign he came back out in uniform, though.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people were freaking out that he was done.
Well, and I don't – you know, Dunaway brought this up, and I don't know – if you know the inside of it, when he threw the helmet down, I was like, damn, his season's over. That's what it looked like, the frustration of an injury. But Dunaway said something about he wanted to go into the tunnel instead of going into the tent, and that's why he was frustrated.
Oh, I didn't even get to see it.
Yeah.
I just, you know, obviously, he came back in. There was a play. He came back after he heard it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we didn't immediately know, but then obviously he's in the tent. He stayed in the tent for a long time.
Yeah, so
time.
Couldn't tell on the dive is where he heard it.
Right.
Saban was talking about yesterday he could do something. You can't either throw it away or go down, but you can't do it at the same time and risk an injury like that. But on the broadcast, initially, you didn't know it was that. It went back. The next play was
and he threw it, and it
was an awkward look.
He had no strength in it.
Yeah, and then when they went back and showed the fall, then you knew what it was. But before, I had no idea.
I didn't, and we didn't either. We were sort of watching this play out. It felt very much like Tua, not in terms of the grotesqueness of Tua bleeding and then being carted off, but your starting quarterback's the Heisman Trophy winner. Everyone knows who he is. They're ticking across the ESPN bottom line. They're doing game breaks to tell you that he's hurt. And he stayed in the tent for a long time.
Yeah.
But when he came back out, the fact that he was in uniform and he was, doing handoffs, I'm like, okay. I think they were sending a message that it wasn't as bad as maybe it looked initially.
Okay, so if Gibbs goes under 100 yards, is Milroe the leading rusher on Saturday?
Yeah. Well, I think because of the way the game's going to play out, it's going to be tough to run the ball in A&M, I think, just because of the way that their defense can play. I think they know Alabama really well because of Jimbo and that history. And I think Jace McClellan's going to split carries with Jameer. And I just think whether they're called runs, which I think there will be if Jalen plays, or if they're called scrambles, like the 77-yard run on that turned the game, that was a called pass. He just scrambled. And that's very difficult to defend. So I think because of those two, he'll have design runs and he'll have scrambles. It'll be him leading the team in rushing.
Final question, 23.5. You take Bama? You give the points or are you taking the points?
No, I'd take the points. Of course, that would have cost me last week.
I think right now I take the points, but again, I switched last week, so we'll see.
I don't know enough right now who's going to play.
Yeah. And if Bryce plays, that number probably goes up. It's Bama and Bourbon with Aaron Suttles from The Athletic. Make sure you like and subscribe. It's only a buck. You got no excuse not to. I'm Lance Taylor from The Next Round. Make sure you tell your friends about Bama and Bourbon. It's always brought to you by our friends at Over the Mountain Cruisers. For more information on those guys, otmcruisers.com. And The Beverage Place and Pink Package, thanks to Joe and Chan. Everything they do there, your one-stop shop for everything. And this week, Courage and Conviction. Your American single malt whiskey. I'm telling you, if you're a bourbon/whiskey/scotch fan, it all comes together. So make sure you get into either their Beverage Place, Pink Package. Check this out. But make sure you tell your friends, like, subscribe. It's Bama and Bourbon. We do it every week. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back with another edition next week.